Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I asked Brother Richard to let me sit on the first seat here. When I came to the platform, I wanted you to be fresh in my thinking and mind, and I wanted to be fresh in yours. And here we are. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Bless the Lord. I'm happy to be a part of you this year. And I did tell your superintendent, and I promised my pastor, who happens to be our oldest son, that if he'd let me come to this one, I would let it be the last one. Not because that I'm tired of preaching camp meetings, but they're getting too heavy. I'm 76 years old, been preaching them 50 years, and I think maybe it'd be wise for me to stop. So this will be the last one, but I'm praying it's going to be the best one. Praise the Lord! Praise God! I'm going to give my best to it. When it's all over, I don't care a thing about what you say about it being good or bad. I just want you to say he did his best. And that's all God expects of us, to give our best. Praise the Lord. And I'm happy to be teamed here with my good lifetime friend, his lifetime, Brother Davis. Known him when he was just a boy, and that wasn't yesterday. That's right. Knew him when he was just a boy. And he has a precious family. You saw that young man singing, and he has a son that's assisting Brother Thornton in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I was there in the service with him just a few Sunday nights ago. And he kind of looks up to me like I'm his granddaddy. And it makes me feel mountaintop tall for such a precious young man to have that respect. It's just good to be in the church of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You'll stand with me. I'll introduce my subject to you tonight. And I got permission from the leader to take my time for as long as I want to. And I guess he knew I was going to do that anyway, with the Lord being permission. But I don't mean it's going to be all that long. It just takes me longer to say what I say than it does the average person. The average person could say it in 30 minutes, and it takes me 40, 50, hour and a half. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've known for a couple of weeks what my first message would be in this camp meeting. And that's thrilling. It really is thrilling. And it's comforting. It's encouraging. It gives faith when God gives you a message way ahead of time. You don't have to worry and fret and pray, oh God, give me some. He's already given it to you. It makes me feel like he's wanting to do something. And I want him to do something. And if we'll let him, he'll do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm reading tonight from the second book of Chronicles, 20th chapter, and beginning with the 20th verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Remain standing just a few moments. I'm going to announce rather a lengthy sermon topic, but I want to get it into your thinking. The most miraculous victory recorded in the Word of God, and the weapons of warfare used. Now, can you remember that? That's a lengthy sermon topic. The most miraculous victory, and I'm not forgetting David and Goliath. I'm not forgetting victories and battles that you're thinking about. But to me, this is the most miraculous victory recorded in the Word of God. And he told me 2 weeks ago to preach it to you. He must want to give you a miraculous victory. Say praise the Lord. The most miraculous victory recorded in the Word of God, and then the weapons of warfare that was used. And these weapons are in your hands tonight. Tonight, you don't have to go home to get them. You don't have to go to your room to get them. They're in your hands right now. Praise the Lord. Oh. Oh. You may be seated. Thank you very, very much, you precious, wonderful, wonderful people. I told the folks at Brother Sister Rich's church last night. Sister Glass and I travel nearly all the time. And we're nowhere as long as we'll be here, unless it's a camp meeting. And I'm just looking audiences over of the people of God, just looking them over, and saying, this is the people that I'm going to live with in eternity. There they are. Here's some more. And I told them then, and I say now, I haven't seen any yet that I would mind living next door to. Just as long as it's in New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this subject that I've introduced to you, this was a very dark day in the history of Judah. Very dark. Don't read it now. Close your Bible and listen to me. But read it if you wish to when you get home or tomorrow. This 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles opens with two nations invading Judah, and one allied with them, making three. And Judah was not strong enough for one of these nations alone. Their back was to the wall. And in this hard place, this place that opened the eyes of Jehoshaphat to the fact that he actually needed God. It'd be so good if we could realize our need of God before we find ourselves in such a hard place. When you're on the mountaintop, you need God. Praise the Lord. And these three nations were invading Judah. And Jehoshaphat knew that they didn't stand a chance against one of these nations, not speaking of all three of them. And there's a long history behind it. Two of these nations were the sons of Lot by his daughters that was born 1,000 years before. The third one was the son of Esau, who had become a nation. Hundreds of years made so much difference. Now here they were attacking Judah. 1,000 years later, attacking Judah. And Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer. Now we're going to have a prayer meeting in the morning. But I don't want it to be a prayer meeting now I lay me down to sleep. I want it to be a desperate, sincere approach to God. Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer. The king of Judah went to God in very sincere prayer. And I'm going to give you some excerpts of his prayer. He first acknowledged who God was. I'm going to read just a little of it. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? You're a ruler of the kings of the heathens. I preached some time ago at a place and let them know that this world was not out of God's control. He has his hand on it. He knows what's going on. And they said, well, Brother Glass, we had a preacher a few nights ago that said God pays no attention to what's going on in the world. I said, I don't agree with him. His hand's on the throttle. He's controlling everything. Praise God. And here Jehoshaphat said, art thou not the God of the heathens? Rule over the heathens. In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Thou art God. And then he reminded the Lord he reminded the Lord that God one time gave Judea to his friend Abraham. Now, he didn't say, you gave this land to my father Abraham and his seed after him. He's wanting to touch the heart of God. And Abraham is the only man that ever lived that was known as a friend of God. And Jehoshaphat is using that here. You gave this land to your friend Abraham and his seed after him. Now, are you going to allow these heathen nations to take it away from us? I tell you, brother, he's praying. He's not just saying a prayer. He's talking to God. He's talking business to God. He's talking a language to God that God understands, and he remembers the promise he made to his friend Abraham. And then Jehoshaphat continued. He said, after Israel moved into Judah, after they crossed Jordan and came into this land to occupy, they builded for you a sanctuary, and they dedicated it to you. Now, you're going to let these people take away from us the land you gave your friends and the sanctuary we dedicated to you? Are you going to allow the enemy to take it away from us? Brother, they're touching the heart of God. And he said, you placed your name there and said it would be there forever. Your name is in this place. Praise God. Praise God. And where the name of the Lord is, there's victory. There's power. There's glory. And he reminded him of the dedication of the temple. When your people are taken captive into some strange land and they pray looking toward Jerusalem, that's why Daniel raised his window toward Jerusalem when he prayed. That's why Jonah, when he was in the belly of the whale, in the bottom of the sea, by faith, he looked toward Jerusalem and prayed. In that dedicatory prayer, Solomon said, if they pray looking this way, hear their prayers. And now Jehoshaphat is reminding God of it. And he also said in his prayer, continuing, when our forefathers were coming to Canaan's land from Egyptian bondage, when they came up to the boundary lines of these Ammonites, these Moabites, and these Edomites that's now attacking us, they wouldn't even allow our forefathers to come across their land. They requested, let us cross through your land. We'll stay on the king's highway. We'll not destroy a thing that's yours. And if we do, we'll pay for it. And Lord, they wouldn't even let our forefathers come across their land on the king's highway. And they wanted them to invade their land. And you wouldn't allow them to invade the land of these Ammonites, Edomites, and Moabites. And now are you going to let them take our land away from us? He's praying. And he's done what we very often refer to. He's prayed through. Praise God. He said, now, Lord, here we are with our little children. Our eyes are on you. We're helpless. There's nothing that we can do. And, brother, he's touched God. The Lord says, stand back. Just stand back. Speak through a prophet in prophecy. and said to Jehoshaphat and to Judah, you just stand back. This battle is not yours, it's mine. Praise the Lord. Oh, this battle's not yours, Jehoshaphat. It's my battle. It's my battle. And I'd like for you to know this is God's camp meeting. This is God's battle. This is God's interest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just step back. Just stand back now. This is my battle. You stand still and you see the salvation of God. Well, now that didn't mean that they were not to get up the next morning at 7 o'clock and pray. That didn't mean that. The Lord told them exactly where the enemy was. He knows where the enemy is. He's over, the enemy is over in the wilderness of Jeruah, over by the cliff Ziz, right over that cliff in the wilderness of Jeruah. And I want you to get some singers. And I want you to get somebody that'll say, praise the Lord. And I want you to go to that wilderness of Jeruah. Over there, the cliff Ziz, with some people that'll sing and some people that'll praise the Lord. And I want you to meet that enemy singing praises unto God and praise in the Lord. And I read it to you. They did. And the scripture said, and when they began to sing, and to praise the Lord, when are you going to begin? When you begin, we're going to have a camp meeting. When you start, we're going to have a victory. Praise God. Praise God. When you start, when are you going to start? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wish I could really give you a mental picture of this scene. I wish I could. Three nations invading Judah. They're coming through the wilderness of Jeruah to meet Judah, invading, armed with war equipment, trained soldiers. And here is a little group compared to their group. Judah. Not even a songbook in their hand. No weapon of any description. None. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. The weapons of warfare we have here in this camp meeting are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Now what I'd like to know, could you have sung with that little group? Here they are. Walking by faith, going to meet three powerful nations of men. And they're just walking, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Out there in the open air, praise the Lord. Some of you won't even praise Him here in a tabernacle. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so tired of pep rallies, trying to conduct a pep rally. Going to the platform, trying to conduct a pep rally. Come on, folks.
Come on, folks. Come on, sing. Come on. Come on. Come on. Who'll get up and praise the Lord? Who'll sing a song? Who'll do this? Who'll do this? I don't like that. I feel like when we come in the house of God, we're in here to worship God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And before I retire as pastor, I would do this sometime, most especially when I had a visiting preacher there the first time he was ever there. I'd get up and open the service, just walk up the pulpit, and I'd say to my congregation, untie your coat. Every one of them would stand at their feet and begin to worship and praise and bless God from the front seat to the back. And that preacher would sit there with his mouth open, untie the coat. Well, I just trained them. I told them about Jesus telling some men to go over in a certain village, you'll find a colt. He's at the hitching post. Untie that colt and bring it to me. Well, now they've obeyed him. They've gone. They went the distance. There were they where the colt is. What did they go for? To see the colt? No, they went to untie the colt. And I say untie, I mean by that, and they knew what I meant. Do what you came here to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing, Judah, sing, right out there on the battlefield. Did you know, friends, the Lord never did intend for this platform to entertain that audience? I thank God for our good singers. I wouldn't take nothing for them. It thrills me to think we have the best singers in the country. I never think about buying a tape or a record of anybody but our own people. They outsing anybody I've ever heard sing. I thank God for every one of them. But God never did intend for us just to go to church and be entertained by their singing. God bless you. They worship God when they sing. Couldn't you tell that beautiful little lady was up here worshiping God while she was singing? She wasn't singing to entertain us. She was worshiping God, and we should have worshiped God with her. Praise the Lord. Did you know every chorus that this brother led, I sat right there and sang it with him? Your singing would have been a whole lot better if I'd have kept quiet, because I can hardly carry a tune in a paper sack. But I wasn't singing for you to hear me. I was singing, worshiping my God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That verse of scripture that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that didn't necessarily mean you with a beautiful, melodious voice that can hit every key, every note, every sharp and every flat. You sing, that don't mean that. Sometime an old gruff voice like mine that's wore out preaching 53 years and then saying, what a friend I have in Jesus, is more beautiful in his ears than some of your more beautiful singing. That's joyful in the ears of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, he wants us to praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise the Lord. So some of them were singing, and some of them were praising the Lord. sound like a Pentecostal meeting to me. It really does, even though that's in the Old Testament. A meeting the enemy, getting closer by the step to the enemy, but they're singing. Many of our people kind of think singing was originated for a Sunday morning service. We can sing rock and roll and Yankee Doodle Dandy all the week and then come to church on Sunday and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That's why it's so flat, it don't get anywhere. I think you can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus" on Monday morning as well as you can Sunday morning. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And singing is not for entertaining, it's a weapon of warfare. If some of you would sing your way out of prison, you can do it. Sing your way out of the battle. You've never been in a predicament in your life that there wasn't an appropriate song for you on that occasion. Never. Some of you felt like you didn't have a friend in all the world. You feel that way. A sister came to me and said, "Brother Glass, I don't believe I have a friend in this church." And I said, "Well, if you don't believe it, I don't know as I could convince you that you do. But I tell you what I will do if you want me to. I'll ask God to let something tragic happen to you or your family and see if you got a friend that'll rally." "Oh, no, 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 no." I said, "Well, what do you want with your friends? You're getting along all that good. You don't need them." "Yeah, I'm desperate sick. Something happened to you. You'll find out." "But if you feel like you don't have a friend in all the world, get off by yourself and start singing. What a friend I have in Jesus." Just sing it. Just sing it. Keep on singing it. First thing you know, you'll feel the warmth of His arms wrapping around you. Praise God. You ever feel like you're up on a pinnacle? Every demon in hell getting a shot at you. No place to hide. Just exposed. I'll tell you what, just start singing, "Oh, hide me." I'll tell you what I've done. I've known people when I was pastoring, I knew their valley, I knew their troubles, I knew their trials, and maybe they were in church that night because I went and visited them that day and persuaded them and got them to come. And after they were in church, I'd open the song book to the song that the song leader was singing, and I've taken it to them and put it right in their hands, and all they'd have to do is just take it and start singing. And I've seen them take it out of my hand and close it up and lay it down on the seat and never open their mouth and sing. That's why you're in the bed. You can sing your way out if you would do it. If you can't sing in this camp meeting, you sure couldn't have sung in that battle that Jehoshaphat was in. He wouldn't have wanted you in that army. He wanted somebody that would sing. I don't know what they were singing. It couldn't have been victory in Jesus. That's before Christ was crucified. But it is after David wrote his Psalms. They may have been singing, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. He leads me beside." Oh, they had a song to sing. They had a song.
I wish I could. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I wish, and I pray that in the course of this discourse tonight, somewhere in it, you would purpose in your heart, this is one count meeting, whether I sit on the front seat or the back seat, I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship God. I wish you would not let a third of the people do the same. You go to most of our churches, and I'm going to say in our part of the country anyway, the most of them. You go in, and there'll be about a third of the congregation singing, and the rest of them just sitting there. Just sitting there. What if they would all join in and sing? What if they would? From the front to the back, just what if everyone would sing? The devil couldn't stay in there. He'd have to get out. But whenever we've got just a few up here in the front doing the same, we've got a battle on our hands. We've got a fight. And we're trying to get everybody, come on, everybody, come on, everybody, come on. God bless your heart. Let's don't do that in this church. Let's just everybody purpose now. We're going to worship God. We're going to worship God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And when they began to sing, the Lord set ambushment against the enemy and drove them back, smote them when they began to sing. Now, that's in the Old Testament, Brother Grant. I'm going to show you a similar victory in the New Testament. Now, you can't say that is not a miraculous victory. Miraculous. And that weapon of warfare is in your hands. It's in your hands. You can sing and you can praise the Lord. You may not sing as good as Brother Davis. Who can? Who can? Who can sing as good as this sister? That God's not just listening for good singing like that. He wants you worshiping Him and singing His worship. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. You've got it. I read today, just to refresh it in my mind anew, of Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi. Paul and Silas in jail. And the jailer has been charged. He's been charged to the extent if he lets them escape, it's his life. That's why he put them back in the inner cell and put their feet in stocks and turned the lights out. And it's midnight. It's midnight. It'd been me and you, we'd have been wanting somebody to get us out of here. We'd have been crying, persecuted. But these noble soldiers of the cross, one or the other of them said, let's sing a song. Think of Paul and Silas singing a duet. I doubt if you'd let singers sing in your camp that couldn't sing no better than that. But they sang a jailhouse open. They sang down an earthquake. And I'm going to say this. I wouldn't doubt
If I couldn't beat Paul singing, I don't know about Silas, but Paul, I wouldn't doubt if I couldn't beat him singing, because the scripture said his speech was contemptible. How did it sound to sing him? Sometimes I think I can even beat him preaching in some ways. Took him to midnight to preach him to sleep, and I can do it in 5 minutes. But they started singing a song, Paul and Silas singing a song. They're not singing because it's beautiful. They're worshiping God, and there's power in worship. In the year of 1968, I was pastoring a large church. The church was running up close to 600 in Sunday school in Demas, Tennessee. And I decided, I've always wanted to, and I decided I'm going to do it. I was 58 years of age then. Always wanted to evangelize with no other encumbrances. I'd help revival, but I'd had a pastorate back home, tied to me. I held revival, but I had a position in the organization that occupied a part of my time. Never evangelized with no encumbrances at all but evangelism. So I resigned that church, and Sister Glass and I went into the evangelistic work. And I kept a diary. I was in the evangelistic work over 800 days, and God gave us an average of over a soul a day. Over a soul, one revival, 101 received the Holy Ghost. One revival. And I wouldn't have stopped. I was having the time of my life. But my home church, or church I was saved in, called me and I turned them down. They called the second time, I turned them down. They called the third time and I went home. And I pastored them until I retired some time ago. But in those revivals, I preached worship, worship, worship. Power in worship. And preach it 2 or 3 weeks in a church, you get them worshiping from the front seat to the back seat. And I saw them receive the Holy Ghost in the foyer. One lady received the Holy Ghost in the nursery. One Sunday night, 5 received the Holy Ghost coming down the aisle before they nailed to the bench. If you worship God, faith, if you worship God, sinners, 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 we'll get under conviction in the service. The biggest trouble with our churches today and the thing that's paralyzing us, one reason why we can't have greater miracles in our church, more greater revivals, more people healed, a big majority of our saints absolutely will not worship God in spirit and in truth. They just will not do it. Oh, I wish I could send you home with a desire to worship God. But you know, that's exactly what God's seeking after. You think He's seeking after people that won't go to the drinking house, seeking after people that won't go to dances, seeking after people that won't commit adultery, won't commit fornication. He's seeking after people like that. Of course He don't want you doing that. But He could take the world to heaven for things like that concerned. There'd be nothing like that going on up there. There'd be no drinking houses up there. There'll be no gambling houses up there. There'll be no sex up there. He could take the world ahead. You know what He wants? He's seeking after people that'll worship Him. Yeah. Worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father speaketh such.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul and Silas are singing a duet. Oh, I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Wish I had it on tape. And while they were singing, one or the other of them said, "My foot's loose. My foot's loose." It was in stocks, and now it's loose. And the other said, "Mine's loose." And he said, "Both of my feet loose." I tell you what they did. They sang themselves loose in a jailhouse. And some of our people can't sing themselves loose in a dedicated sanctuary. Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Everybody stand, will you please? Everyone stand. I'm going to speak just a very few more moments. Just a very few. This church was born praising the Lord. They were continuously in the temple praising and blessing God. Just continuously. Not just 2 minutes. 3 minutes, they were continuously in the temple, worshiping, praising, and blessing God. see that people worshiping, praising, and blessing God, something's going to happen. There's power in worship. There's power in worship. There's power in worship. And I want to tell you something. This church stays alive worshiping God. Saints stay alive worshiping God. When you cease to worship God, you're dying spiritually. You're dying spiritually. Praise the Lord. Some of you may resent me saying that, but that's true. This church stays alive worshiping God. We went to our bedroom last night, and Sister Glass referred to the church, well, in Sister Whitsitt's church that we were in. How lively it was from the front to the back, not just the first few seats, but they worshiped God all over that church, all over the church. How lively it was and how free it was. Well, that's the way it ought to be. A church stays alive worshiping God. This church was born worshiping God. This church stays alive worshiping God. This church is born up worshiping God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone in this audience that doesn't have the Holy Ghost? If there is, you come down this aisle, worshiping in this atmosphere of worship. Come on, receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Is there anyone in this audience without the Holy Ghost? Come on, right now, right now. Come on. You'll never have a better chance than you've got tonight. They're worshiping the Lord all over this place. Come on, right now. Come on, come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Anyone wants the Holy Ghost? Just anyone. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on else. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come right on. Come right on. Praise the Lord. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. They're still coming. Come on out. Come. Come on out. Come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come right on, sister. Come right on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Praise the Lord. Thank how many of you will come down here and worship God? How many of you will come down here and worship God? Come on, thank every one of you that will. Come worship and praise Him and bless Him, God. Get up this aisle. Get up the front around here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You that don't come, worship back there. Worship, 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 worship. Everybody worship. Everybody worship. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please pray, saints, some precious people up here. Some precious people up here wanting the Holy Ghost. You can help them. You can help them. Praise.